Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And good afternoon and welcome to our second episode of Iceman Insights with Derek the Dirty D. And Michael, the Shocker Shockley.
Hello.
So, at the time of this recording, we haven't been pulled off the air yet, so this is officially our second episode.
Woohoo! Well, let's see if we can get through it before they decide that this is not going to happen. There's too many offbeat shenanigans here.
Yeah. We got through the audio problems of last week, and we're hiding out upstairs of the Wire Coffee House so no one can unplug us, and we're about ready to talk some Iceman hockey. Iceman 0-2 in overtime loss now, and I guess they're feeling a little bit like they want to be hiding out.
Yeah, it's it's funny how perspective changes over the course of a year, because going into this season, if you would have said second weekend of the season you're 0-2-1, you lost 4-3 at home, you lost in a shootout at Fort Wayne, everybody would have been like, oh, this is terrible, what's wrong with the team? But given the perspective of how poorly the home opener went, everybody's thinking, okay, well, at least we're getting better now. We're making progress.
I think one of my favorite story from Friday night, I was in Floyd Central doing the Castle Knight football game on the radio, and I was getting updates from you and others, and my neighbor, Jamie Demansky, texts me and says, these guys suck. This team is horrible. They got to get it together. It's 3-1. They're losing. And I just texted back, patience. And 5 minutes later, I get a text that says, 3-3, woo, we're for real. And it's just, I mean, it's the second game of the season. It's the third game of the season. It's the second weekend. And that's why we did the show last week on what we thought predictions were for the season. Because I think part of either we're freaking out or we're completely comfortable is based on what our expectations are on this team for the year. And what is your factual backing up of those expectations?
Yeah, well, I think sports in general these days, people are just too quick to look at the most recent game. You see it in the NFL all the time if you listen to ESPN Radio. It's always what happened this week in football, because it's like the previous weeks don't matter. A team can look like a world beater for 5 weeks. They have one bad game and lose at home, and suddenly, oh, there's no way they're ever going to make it to the Super Bowl.
They drop out of the top 10 of the poll or the power rankings.
Yeah. So, well, the good thing is with the Icemen starting the way they've started, we don't have to worry about dropping out of the top 10 anytime soon.
It's only up from here.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Friday, loss 4-3 to Trenton. Saturday, was that right? Yeah, 4-3 on the shorty. Two shorties on the season already given up.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, the shootout loss. Crazy shootout. Everyone scoring.
Yeah.
And finally, the Icemen couldn't get enough in. But so your thoughts on the games 2 and 3 of the season?
Well, I thought Friday, it was a better effort than the home opener was. At least it was a full 60 minutes. They played the whole game. There were still spots here and there where they had issues. There's still defensive breakdowns and chemistry problems and some momentary lapses in focus and effort that are leading to too many shots against. The Icemen got outshot both games by a pretty comfortable margin. It was 37-23 in favor of Trenton on Friday and 36-24 in favor of Fort Wayne on Saturday. And you can't keep doing that. You can't get outshot by 10, 12 shots a game, you know, leaving your goalies hung out to dry, basically. Because even if you have the greatest goalie in the league, just by sheer numbers and percentages, over time, that's going to hurt you. And that's going to have to change over time, but that's tied to chemistry. And I think once the system is improved and guys get used to playing with each other and they get used to Crom's system like we talked about last week, I think you'll see the shots even out a little bit more. But that was kind of a problem even last season, toward the end of the season, even when the Icemen had pretty decent roster stability and the players knew each other and knew Crom's system, the team still got outshot a lot, but they got away with it because they had a lot of offensive firepower and in general, pretty good goaltending.
Yeah, and But things started to break down. We had that amazing January. Didn't we go undefeated in January last year?
Something like that,
and it extended into February. And then, you know, with Gillis, he was hot and everything else. But everyone figured out Gillis. And you could talk about P.O. And you know, we were talking about him last week at Swander. You would catch that guy doing his hair. You know, if he knew he was the backup, he was in the bathroom doing his hair during warm-ups. It's just... He was a classic, but Gillis, you know, they started figuring out that they could break him down low, and you started seeing a lot of those goal-mouth, goal-line shots going in, and just like you're saying, the defense has got to step up and stop people, force those shots to the outside, because any goalie is going to get figured out in these leagues.
Yeah, and Friday against Trenton, I think Rob Medor played pretty well in that. Normally you wouldn't say that about a guy that gave up four goals, but... When you look at the types of goals that were given up, the first goal that Trenton scored was an intended pass to the slot. It bounces off of Matt Jens and into the net. That's not going to happen
every
time.
That's just hockey.
Right. The second goal was a deflection off of traffic in front. The third goal was a power play goal. It was just good execution by Trenton. And the fourth goal, which is just kind of indicative of the way things have gone so far this season for the Icemen, was just a terrible turnover by Daniel Tatro in the defensive zone. Icemen are on the power play. He's trying to break it out of the zone. And in the process, there's two Trenton players coming into the zone trying to put pressure on. And he just flat gave it to one of them. And they had a 2-on-0 rush. And Medor was completely, you know, had no chance whatsoever. And the stuff like that, you can't keep being that careless with the puck. Yep. Because that's going to come back to bite you in this league. You can't give players from the other team golden opportunities, 2-on-0, 1-on-0, breakaways and stuff. And that's just... That's going to be the downfall of this team if they don't clean that aspect of the game up.
Now, you had one of your bright spots was Dan Gender, I believe you were talking about, with his speed.
Yeah, we talked last week about whether or not anyone on this team had the speed to potentially play the Brian Bisek role from last season. And I speculated that Gender might be the guy that's most likely to do that. And over the weekend, we saw that. Friday, Gender showed his speed a couple times that really stuck out to me in the game against Trenton. There was one time where he was coming through the neutral zone one-on-one with a defenseman. The defenseman was a couple stick lengths in front of him, and he just turned on the jets, went around the guy to the wing, and curled back in around him and made a decent scoring chance. It basically made something out of nothing. And if he didn't have the type of speed that he has, that doesn't happen. And I think if he... gets put into a position to take advantage of that speed more often, once Robinson figures out the way to play with him and the way to lead him into situations like that, if Todd can figure out how to best take advantage of Gender's speed and skills, that line could be potent.
Awesome.
The other time with Gender was the Icemen were on the power play, and you're in the offensive zone set up, and an errant pass back to the point squeaks out to the neutral zone. Andy Bomback from Trenton, who's not the fastest skater in the world, but he's still a decent player, he comes out of the zone, gets a breakaway, and he's probably a half zone in front of everyone. Gender, who was not on the point during the power play anyway, he was deep in the zone. He comes from all the way deep in the zone, through the neutral zone, catches Bomback from behind, takes the puck away, and Bomback didn't even get a shot off.
Wow.
And it's that kind of speed that can not only be an asset on offense, but also in defense.
I just remember back in the summer when they announced the signing, because as we've talked about, I have low expectations for this season just because of the difficulty of joining a new league. And then when I saw that signing and the stats that went with him, I thought, holy moly, they emptied out the bank account for this guy, because he sounds like he's got all the skills that this team needs.
Yeah, I think he's the real deal. It's going to be interesting to see how well he can produce with the line mates he has right now. And, you know, if it doesn't pick up eventually, Crom may have to tinker with the lines and put him with somebody else. I'm still interested in seeing him play with Dale Mahovsky and Jason Dale at some point. I think that trio might be more put together to set up different flows in the game that maybe Robinson and Beaulieu can't take advantage of Gender speed, because they're just not as fast. But I think Mahovsky and Dale have the kind of speed that, if you put Gender on a line with them, they could do some really interesting things. But I do think it's going to be a while before we see that top line of Robinson, Beaulieu, and Gender broken up. I think Crom will give them probably a solid month to try to work out the kinks and work some chemistry together and see what they can do.
Any other bright spots from the weekend that you saw?
Well, I liked in Friday's game. I thought maybe the biggest positive of the whole game was that the Icemen were down 3-1 in the second period, and they scored twice in the final minute of the second period. And you know as well as I do that in hockey, one of the biggest adages among coaching is you never give up a goal in the first minute or the last minute of a period. So to give up two goals at the end of the second period probably had the Titans reeling in the locker room during the second intermission. The problem was then the Icemen came out in the third period. Early in the period, Tatro had the giveaway that pretty much deflated the building, and the Icemen never really recovered from that. They had a few chances late, but then they self-destructed toward the end. They had to kill off about a minute and a half of a 5-on-3 where both of the Jens boys were in the penalty box at the same time, which led to an interesting...
Oh, I'm sure Mom is very
proud. Oh, yeah. It was an interesting photo op. I saw someone on Facebook posted that picture should be their Christmas card for this year.
Yeah.
But
I think that was Tracy Masterson. She was one that I saw had it posted up.
Yeah, it was a funny visual, that's for sure. But they killed off the 5-on-3. You thought, well, maybe they're going to take some momentum out of this, and then they turn around and take a too-many-men-on-the-ice penalty with about 2.5 to go, and that just sunk what any chances they had left. So it was a decent game overall on Friday. I thought the team played better than they did on opening night. It was a winnable game, and you have to take out of it that it was a winnable game. There were mistakes, and if you figure you can alleviate those mistakes over time, then you're going to win games like that. And you talked about last week that you thought the team was going to win or lose a lot of 4-3, 3-2 kind of games. And those are the things that make a difference in games like that.
Now we step into our next segment, Shockers, Hockey, Rock Song of the Week.
Yeah, this week we're kind of changing things up a little bit. Normally this will be an upbeat song, a song that I played at Swander that fans would clap to, fans would sing along with. Last week the debut was We Will Rock You by Queen. This week we're going to kind of have a different tone to this in honor of Lane Goodwin, who passed away last Wednesday night. He was the 13-year-old boy in Beech Grove, Kentucky, who had brain cancer and had the thumbs up for Lane movement that swept the nation, and he got over 300,000 likes on Facebook.
Wow.
And the Icemen played a big role in the thumbs up for Lane movement. The team, some of the players, when they were at a practice at Swander, took a thumbs up picture. The Icemen staff took a picture at the office downtown. Some of the Icemen fans gathered at the Ford Center on a random Sunday afternoon when there wasn't a game or anything. They just gathered downtown with their Icemen jerseys on so they could take a picture. Our old buddy Brian Bisek got a bunch of NHL players. I don't know if you saw that
or not.
Yeah,
I did see it.
That had Patrick Kane and some of the other some big names from the Chicago hockey scene, the Blackhawks, either former or current players. And then the Icemen paid Lane a visit, which was really cool. They went to his house and kind of uplifted his spirits a little bit when he needed it, him and his family. And the cool thing about this is even before all of the Icemen involvement in the thumbs up for Lane movement, Lane was an Icemen fan before any of this happened. They posted a picture on their Facebook page of last season he was at a game smiling and wearing an Icemen shirt and just seemed to be having a great time. So it was pretty cool that the Icemen were involved in it, in the whole movement the way they were. And I know it was sad to hear that Lane finally lost his battle last Wednesday night, a few hours after we aired the debut of this. So as a tribute to him, this week's song, instead of a song that kind of gets you up and clapping your hands and singing along, this is a song that I used to play at Swander before warm-ups every now and then as people were wandering into the building and getting ready to have a good time. From 1969, a tribute to Lane Goodwin, this is Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
Thank you.
that was Shocker's Hockey Rock Song of the Week and a tribute to Lane Goodwin. And one thing I love about, have loved it for years since we were back in Swanders, we call it the Iceman family. And we are an Iceman family. And it's amazing how all these fans, we can all cheer for this team and we all come together kind of like a family reunion Sunday supper, but it's at the Ford Center.
Yeah, it's a big family reunion every time there's an Iceman game, and sometimes when there's not an Iceman game. And the cool thing is, it's like a big dysfunctional family, because within the family there are certain people who at times get on other people's nerves, but it's like that crazy uncle that you can make fun of, but if someone from outside the family tries to make fun of him, that's not cool.
Some other stuff from the weekend that impacts the upcoming season. We got some injury situations coming up.
Yeah, Friday in the game against Trenton, Oliver Gabriel, who's one of the players that was sent down to the Icemen from the Columbus Blue Jackets, suffered a pretty scary injury late in the first period. He was behind the net fighting for the puck with one of the Titans, and in the process they got tangled up and both went down, and somehow in the midst of that, Gabriel took a skate blade to the lower leg. It was below his calf, above his Achilles, thankfully. But apparently it was a deep enough laceration that he actually tore open part of the muscle.
Wow.
And it was pretty gruesome, and there was a lot of blood even on the ice. It bled enough that there was blood on the ice that came out through his equipment. And he had surgery Monday to repair the muscle damage and got all sewn up. And even though he didn't sustain any Achilles injury, he's going to miss at least 2 to 3 months probably. We've both played the game, and it's kind of amazing when you think about it that injuries like that don't happen more often, because people may not really realize, if they've never skated on a regular basis, those skate blades are so sharp. It's really dangerous.
And hockey skates are designed with the Achilles tendon protector, too. That's why the back of the boot extends up so high. And I've seen kids, like, for a while, the cool thing was to cut them off and to break them down. It's like, that's probably almost as important as the hardened toe cap. The toe cap to protect your toes from pucks, and that it tendon guard to protect you from that exact situation. There's no padding on the back of your leg. So, yeah, just a horrendous injury. I heard that when they pulled his skate off, it was just filled with blood.
Yeah, it's really scary that, you know, something like that can happen on a seemingly innocuous play. It's just two guys behind the net. It's not like it was an intent to injure. It wasn't a big hit. It was just two guys going for the puck, and next thing you know, Gabriel's down, and the next 2 to 3 months of his season is lost. And you don't even know, you don't want to speculate, but you don't know how well he's going to come back from that.
There's rehab and everything else. Those muscles won't get used for 2 to 3 months, so he's not going to be in skating shape on that one leg.
Right.
So, yep, it'll be tough.
And then Saturday there was another injury, not for the Icemen, thankfully, but you don't want anyone to get hurt. In Fort Wayne, the Comets were rushing into the Icemen zone, and Chris Auger, who's a very good player, was coming through the center of the ice, and he tried to cut over toward the right board. And in the process, Aaron Jens, who was on defense for the Icemen, came over and tried to lay out Auger with an open ice hip check. Well, and it was one of those bing, bang, boom kind of plays where everything went just wrong for Auger. Jens came in at just the right angle, and Auger tried to avoid it at just the right angle, to where Jens, in the process of crouching down for the hip check, his hip caught Auger right on the side of the knee, and it bent. I saw the slow motion. One of the Fort Wayne media outlets had a slow motion of the video of it, and knees aren't meant to bend that way.
Ugh.
And the Comets announced on Monday that Auger has a torn ACL and is out for the season. Now, the Comets fans are all up in arms, saying that Jens should be suspended and Jens should be fined. And the funny thing is, it's not funny, haha, but the funny thing is the play wasn't even penalized. One of the other Comets came over and fought Jens right after it happened.
Yeah,
and
I Jens heard that was, on the radio.
Yeah, he was obviously penalized for the fighting, but he was not penalized for the hit itself. And I don't think the league is going to suspend him, but watching the video in slow-mo, it looked like it could have been a suspendable hit. It was right on that line of, how much did Auger, not that he asked for it, but how much did him trying to avoid the hit cause the end result?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he comes on at more of a straight angle, then maybe it's just, you get upended and you get up and play on. But it just everything went just wrong, and you could have that same sequence 100 times, and maybe 99 other times you don't end up with a torn ACL. But just the way it went, it's one of those freak kind of things, and it's unfortunate that a good player is going to be gone for the rest of the season.
Well, and we know at the end of last year in the CHL season, with Matt Jens dropping those hip check bombs everywhere, they started calling them for clipping and tripping. They tightened up. The officials were warned to tighten it up on Jens, and so I think that's going to start pretty early for the Icemen. We will start getting a lot more attention with our defensive play in our own zone how that's going to affect us.
Yeah, that's the thing to look for going forward, is even if Jens is not suspended, the league could make it a point of emphasis with the officials going forward that we got to keep a closer eye on this, because we can't have guys getting their knees blown up by hits like this. And I don't think some of the Comets fans were trying to insinuate that Jens was trying to hurt him. And I think that couldn't be farther from the truth. It was just a case of trying to lay out a guy with an open ice hip check, which he's done before. It's not like it's the first time in his life that he's tried to lay out someone with a hip check. But it was just, you know, all the ingredients came together wrong, and it's unfortunate for Auger. But I don't think Jens needs to be completely crucified just because of the end result. Because if Auger doesn't tear his ACL, if he hops right back up from that play, you know, someone may be mentioning that it was maybe a borderline dirty hit, but that's the end of the discussion. Yep. It's not going to be this ongoing thing where everyone's focused on it.
Looking ahead at this week, I'm excited. Wednesday night, Gwinnett comes to town. Be my first time at the Ford Center, and the return of official Matt Spaeth. I'm so excited. From the old days, 2 years in Swander Ice Arena, the AHA League, and the AAHL, head referee, now linesman for the ECHL, coming to town.
Yeah, I'm sure that will just get the Iceman maniacs really excited.
I'm planning on bringing a flag, a zebra-striped flag that I can wave for team referee.
Oh, boy, you might be risking getting thrown out of the building if you're going to do that.
And I'm going to stand right behind Jennifer Watts when I do it.
Yeah, that Wednesday game against Gwinnett, speaking of Jennifer Watts, she has a role in the promotion for that night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's Put Prostate Cancer on Ice. The Evansville Cancer Center and the Icemen are teaming to try to increase prostate cancer awareness, which, scary thing, impacts 1 in 6 men over the course of their lives. So that's a kind of a startling statistic. You don't necessarily hear as much about prostate cancer as you do about lung cancer and breast cancer. It's a cool thing. Blue is the color of prostate cancer, so the Icemen are asking that fans wear blue to the game. And I think they're having a contest where the person that shows their best true blue, quote-unquote, will win a prize from the Cancer Center. So, and our friend Jennifer Watts played a big role in making that promotion happen.
Awesome. Good job, Jen. So, but they're kind of struggling on the year as well, I believe Gwinnett is.
Yeah, they're 1-2-1 and in last place in their division, just like the Icemen are. So something's got to give.
There we go.
Then
hopefully we can get healthy on them.
Yeah. The next game is Friday against the Kalamazoo Wings, who are currently 3-1 and leading the division. That, speaking of breast cancer, is Pink the Rink Night. And we've been told that the ice will be dyed pink for that game, which could look really cool or really atrocious. We'll see how well they do it. But the funny thing is they're playing Kalamazoo, which is a team that kind of pioneered dyed ice. They've been doing dyed ice for special events for years. In fact, they've done green ice for St. Patrick's Day since 1982. And the odd thing is the Icemen will play back-to-back games this weekend on oddly colored ice, because Friday at home they're playing on pink ice. And then Saturday they go to Kalamazoo, and they're playing on orange ice for Halloween.
Nice.
So,
well, the ice will still be pink on Sunday if they do it, because there's no way that they can take the ice down and reflood it in that amount of time.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long we're going to have pink ice, but I would imagine it will still be pink, at least to some extent, on Sunday. It may be one of those things where it just fades away over time. They may not even take it up.
Yeah. So, yeah. That'll probably be it. That'll be interesting to see if that really does happen.
Yeah.
Because especially with the game, like, you would, as part of that crew, you would want that ice melted right now.
Yeah.
But they have to play a game on Wednesday, so you're only talking about, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we may have to get used to seeing pink ice.
But, well, I don't think they're going to be able to get it down, is my... Unless you have it on very good authority.
I don't have it on any more authority than the press releases that the team has put out, and they continue to promote it. So okay. I've got to think that they think there's a way it's going to happen. But I know as of the beginning of the season, it was still kind of a TBD thing that they were trying to work it out with the Ford Center. And I know I had been told that the Iceman and the Ford Center were trying to talk to Kalamazoo about how to do it because they've got so much experience doing it. So
we'll see.
The
this
cool
ought to
thing
be
is
interesting.
The ice won't be the only thing pink on Friday. They're also doing pink jerseys that will be auctioned off after the game for breast cancer awareness. So, and I saw them. They posted a picture of them on Facebook, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they look really awesome. They really do.
So what's your take? Who do you think out of all the players, they're starting at $200 per jersey. What do you think out of all the players on the Iceman this year, whose will fetch the most money?
Well, I'm probably going to go with a beach. This is just an angry, nasty, small little town, and they love their fighters. So as much as – and it's – for some reason, everyone – there's this anti-Robinson vibe you get from places, which I think will affect the level. But that guy's amazing. What people don't understand is he has – the greatest hands I have ever seen. He just plays a different style of hockey. And so when we don't see him flying like Brian Bicek, you hear people grumbling that he's taking the shift off. Well, he's not taking the shift off. That's not his game. But he is by far the best player we will see here in this town for a long, long time.
Yeah. And I agree. There is, I don't know that it's necessarily anti-Robinson. It's just that people expect players to look like they're giving 100% effort all time. And yet, like you said, Robinson's game just isn't that style. And I think, unfortunately, people kind of underestimate his ability and his talent just because he's not flying up and down the ice. But you can make, in a game like hockey, you can make so many things happen without necessarily buzzing all over the place like Brian Bicek or Dan Gender. But I agree. I think Robinson's jersey probably won't go for as much as some other guys. I think Beach will definitely be a big name because of one fight so far. And I think Matt Jens probably
That's
will
what
be
I
up
think as
too.
Well.
And the goalies always seem to go well.
Yep.
They haven't,
because they're just people that love goalies are just weird. I just
Well, goalies are weird.
Exactly.
So, you know, Brian Vall was a goalie.
Exactly.
That's enough said. Case in point. <the place. laughs> So I'm excited about Friday. I think Pink the Rink is a cool promotion. It's one of my favorites every year up there with the Teddy Bear Toss and Pack the House Night. But I personally am particularly excited for Pink the Rink this year because my mom will be in town this weekend, and my mom is a recent breast cancer survivor, and she'll be at the game. So it'll be extra special to have her there. She's had a clean bill of health for a few months now. I think it was in May or June when she was officially declared as cancer-free. So Pink the Rink night's kind of a perfect situation.
So looking at it, we are four games in 5 days, starting Wednesday night.
Yeah. After the Friday game at home against Kalamazoo and the Saturday game at Kalamazoo and their giant scoreboard, which I don't know if you saw that online.
No,
they,
I haven't seen
They have
that.
An enormous scoreboard. It looks like somebody took the one from Jerry World in Dallas and just plopped it into a little tiny 5,000-seat arena. It's ridiculous.
But that's got to be big. I think our scoreboard is massive.
Yeah.
With very little information. The information's so small, but the television scoreboard part of it is huge.
Yeah, the screen is huge, but the one in Kalamazoo is enormous. Wow. It's crazy looking. But anyway, after the Friday and Saturday games against Kalamazoo, the weekend wraps up. Sunday, the Icemen host Gwinnett again.
That's another Matty Space special.
Is,
here
he's
in town.
Be doing that
yep,
game
he'll
too.
Be in town on
wow.
Sunday.
Wow. Mark your calendars, folks. Yep. And that game is the Halloween costume contest. The Icemen are wanting people, especially kids, obviously, to come to the game in their Halloween costumes because it's the last home game before Halloween. So that should be fun. It always is interesting to see the different outfits that people come in. It's also the first Subway family night of the season, which if you're not familiar with that, it's a really good deal. For $12, you can get a ticket, a small soda, a small popcorn, and an Iceman t-shirt. And you can either get the tickets at the Ford Center box office, or you can get them online through Ticketmaster, and the password you have to enter is Subway. Go
Got
figure.
It.
But I think it's going to be a tough weekend. The Icemen, 4 games in 5 days, and the first time of 6 this season that they'll play 3 games in 3 days. That's not necessarily the recipe for riding the ship.
Especially this Kalamazoo team, which Fort Wayne has had nothing but praise for. They got beat by them the first time, and they were respecting the talent.
Yeah, Kalamazoo's a very, very good team. They've won this division 3 years in a row. It's a storied franchise, too. People around here are new to most of these teams other than Fort Wayne, but Kalamazoo's been around since 1974. They've won championships. They've had NHL players like Ron Hextall and Jamie Langenbrunner played there years ago, but they've got a lot of history, and they've got a solid organization, and it's a good team on the ice this year, and that's going to be a tough test. I think you don't necessarily want to count on losing, but the way the season's gone so far, if you can win one of those 2 games against Kalamazoo, you'd consider that a good result.
Yeah, I think, and if we go 500 this weekend, get our first win of the weekend and split 4 games, I think we'd be in really good shape as this team grows throughout the season.
Yeah, you'd like to definitely win one of the 2 against Gwinnett, because that's the easier opponent of the 2, and then maybe hope for getting 1 against Kalamazoo too. But it's going to be a tall order. Anytime you play 4 games in 5 days, no matter how well conditioned you are, this is just, it's a brutal game, and it takes it out of you. And by the time the Icemen get to that Sunday game, they're going to be gassed and beat up and bruised, and it's going to be a different type of game. There's a lot of little nuances in the game that if you've had 4 days off and you play a game, and then if you've played 3 games in the last 4 days and you're now playing a 4th game in 5 days, you can see a lot of differences in the way a game plays out just because guys are so worn out.
Yeah, and there'll be no practice. There'll be no, probably very few pregame skates because they got to play Friday, travel, play Saturday in Kalamazoo. That's a long drive. I know. I've got family in Michigan, and then turn right around and drive back for a 5 o'clock start on Sunday.
Yeah.
There'll be no practice. So whatever they get done Wednesday, Thursday morning is all this team's going to have set for this weekend.
Right, and this weekend will be the first real test of the team's depth, because so far the offense has come almost entirely from the Brett Sonne, Tyler Shattuck line, they started with Oliver Gabriel for the opener in the first period on Friday, and since Gabriel got hurt, Kennedy has taken that spot, and he's played really well so far too.
Yep.
He's a kid that came over last year, was his rookie year. He played for Idaho in the ECHL. And he started the year on the reserve list, but he was activated for the 2nd game. And so far, they've looked really good. The Sonny, Shattuck, Kennedy / Gabriel line has so far produced 7 goals and 7 assists, and they're +5. The Robinson, Beaulieu, Ginger line only has 3 points and is a collective -8. And the Mahovsky, Dale, Beach line has had only 2 points, both assists, and they are -10. So the Icemen, if they want to win games this weekend in this 4-game and 5-day stretch, they're going to have to get scoring from someone other than just the Sonny Shattuck line, because that's not going to get it done when you're playing this many games in a short time span.
Yep. Might be she last time, my man.
Yeah, it's going to be time maybe to shuffle the roster around a little bit and try to get some fresh bodies in there. Maybe they'll put you in.
Oh, I hope not. I'm just struggling to get through the men's league on Tuesday night. That's about all I can handle.
I want to see you in there so that Matthew Spaeth can throw you out.
Oh, that'd be fine. And I'll yell at him and punch him and get suspended forever. That'd be great.
But you'd make YouTube.
Yes, that's all.
And you know,
all about.
If you make YouTube, you've made it.
Yeah.
Because they don't just put anything on the internet.
You've been listening to Michael Shockley and the Dirty D here on Icemen Insights. Michael Shockley comes from us, from IcemenManiacs.com, webmaster, senior writer, and vice president of shenanigans. Wait.
Off-beat shenanigans.
Off-beat, not off-ice shenanigans,
no.
Off-beat shenanigans.
Well, all my shenanigans are off the ice these days. I've hung up my skates for the most part.
Beauty. Thank you so much again for coming.
No problem.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.